Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Zone Time. I'm Julian. Omar is here. Sam is here. Avery is here as well. We promise by the end of the show, we will throw more punches than Jordan Binnington did with Marc-Andre Fleury last week.
And can I just like say something? Those refs who stopped that fight should be like barred from the league. I'm sorry.
That's a bit strong.
No.
Considering they're trying to stop fighting.
Okay. But like, okay. But if there is any player in the league who I would be okay with seeing being in a fight and lose said fight to Marc-Andre Fleury, it would be Jordan Binnington. The league leader in fake punches, and I'm going to rile up the crowd after being shelled. Like, that would have been so funny. He was mic'd up too. Like, man, that would have been cool. That would have been funny.
He might have been the moment of the year in the NHL, if we really think about it, unless we're missing something.
Yeah, probably that.
Yeah, it might have been that. But shout out Jordan Binnington, who gets himself a 2-game suspension for whatever the hell that was. That's our first time getting to talk about that, actually, because that happened last week, and I don't think we're going to really talk about it that much. There's some other stuff. There was another goalie who was in the news a lot more than Jordan Binnington, unfortunately. We will get to him. James Reimer of the San Jose Sharks, who declined to wear a jersey in honor of Pride Night over the weekend as being held by the San Jose Sharks. The biggest thing with that story, I guess we're going to jump into that. We'll jump into the other topics with regards to the Western Conference. And thank you to everyone who sent in tweets for this little call out I did with regards to the new Fanatics deal with the National Hockey League and their apparel. But let's start spending our time with the James Reimer story. The one thing with this story that obviously stuck out in my mind when I saw it is the fact that because a lot of people seem to like James Reimer as a person, there's a lot of people, or we don't know people as people, but there are a lot of people online who are fans of James Reimer because of the personality that he at least tried to convey. Am I wrong in that? Or am I right in that? Is that an assumption? Am I going too far in that?
I can't say I've actually ever given James Reimer any thought.
That's fair. Yeah. But there are people who have.
I think it's a lot of Leafs fans for the most part who, I guess, kind of have or have had a special place in their heart for James Reimer because, we all remember he was a goalie prospect that kind of came out of nowhere and ended up playing games for the team. Was one of, if not the sole reason they made the playoffs in the first place in 2013. And I make the connection all the time. Like when I think of that game 7 overtime loss, like I think of like James Reimer, like face down on the ice, just like as a player who literally did everything he could to try to get the team to win. But then you remember like the media, the interviews and stuff. It just seemed like such like a wholesome, like just a teddy bear, I think Steve Dangle, you always call him like a magical angel robot from Winnipeg, like just such like a wholesome person. So when I saw like the tweet and the news, I've been disappointed every time a player has chosen to go down this route with that same explanation. But that one really surprised me just because, I don't know, we talk about it every single time this comes up. It's just disappointing that that's the quote unquote excuse. But I'm going to choose to focus on like what Luke Prokop said instead. I think he had a response to it. If not this morning, then a couple of days ago. Just about, this is just another instance of just a misunderstanding of what Pride Night means and how important it is and what it's trying to do. So I'm going to choose to focus on that.
That's a good point. Sam, I know you kind of pushed a little bit with people thinking about James Reimer the way that maybe Leafs fans would. I was just curious about your opinion as well.
I mean, I guess it's not so much disappointing as it is like, I think I was just unsurprised. I'm more surprised that, frankly, it took someone this long to just come out and say it. I thought what was more interesting was the Sharks' approach of, you know, I would have expected their PR team to be like, he's not available, and just not kind of acknowledge the situation. But they basically just were like, here, go hang yourself with some rope and just let him keep talking. Which I thought was an interesting approach. I'm not sure that it was the wrong approach. You know, I think it probably cuts both ways. I think it runs counter to the objectives of Pride Night for him to be able to make those statements, which frankly, I think there have been, you know, I think every person on this show was raised with religion, if not still practicing.
Right.
And I think mm-hmm. we can all acknowledge that you can be religious and inclusive. Like, frankly, a cohesive reading of the New Testament, not to get into theology, would suggest that you shouldn't be the one casting the stone or making the judgment. But leaving that aside, I think it's a pity that fans had to hear that from him on Pride Night, in a Pride Night where I think the Sharks otherwise did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And your social media account did a great deal of work in tweeting educational facts throughout the night. The jersey that was designed by a queer fan was, I thought, incredible. Loved the big trans shark. Absolutely. And I thought it was a shame that it overshadowed the night. But at the same time, I'm not sure that the way teams have approached it, where they just don't wear the jerseys at all and just hide behind, oh, some players aren't comfortable with it, so we're not going to do it. I don't think that's the right decision either. I actually think, you know what, if you want to make that choice, you want to show yourself as not an ally, if you want to put yourself out there with this, like, sorry to swear on the show, but this bullshit that you love people, but you don't endorse their lifestyle, which frankly doesn't make a lot of sense. Come out and say it, own it and let people, you know, people are free to then have their opinions about you as a person. My last thought on that was, I thought it was particularly egregious that he then tried to give the excuse of, well, I have a Muslim friend and he would understand if I didn't wear a Muslim jersey. Oh. And like just pull Nazem Kadri into it. Like, I thought that was impulsive.
Yeah, that was very disappointing to you.
Nothing about anything he said was good.
Yeah, it just felt like the longer he went on with that, the larger the hole he was kind of digging for himself. Avery, do you have any thoughts on this?
I think to just echo what everybody's saying here, what he said, dug himself a bigger hole. He had contradictions in what he was trying to say. And also, people forget, he signed a Pride puck. He can sign a Pride puck, but you can't wear a jersey. And point earlier, there are many players who are of faith. Ryan Donato is very devout. Phil Grubauer are very devout. And they took part in this. And what does it say? Like, no one's telling James Reimer, you know, no one's telling him to march a Pride parade or appear in a video. All you're being asked is wear a jersey to show that people from different communities belong in the game, which is still a major, major issue. Hockey is still a sport in which if you are not a white, straight male, you have barriers to get into the game. And all the Sharks want to do is tell those fans that you should be safe watching or being part of hockey. That's it.
Yeah. And once again, a situation where someone who wants to exercise whatever belief they want to believe in, unfortunately takes away from the purpose of that night, which is to ensure that fans of the LGBTQIA+ community are welcomed and are included in the Sharks community. There's a thread that I suggest everyone who's listening or watching this video check out from Marissa and Jemmy, where she followed up with a bunch of queer fans who were at the game and what it meant for them to be there. And it's stories like that that unfortunately get lost in incidents like this. And I've said it before and I'm going to say it again, but the more we have players do this, like what James Reimer's done, what Ivan Provorov has done, the more the ultimate message of these Pride Nights gets lost. And I don't want to, it sucks that we're at a point now where we have to go through every single team and we have to wonder, okay, what is this team doing? How are they celebrating this night? Are players going to sit out of this or not? Like, that should not be the point. If you're an NHL team and your goal is to have this type of night, the goal should be to have an atmosphere that is inclusive. It should be the way for every night, but especially on that night, it should be inclusive. And unfortunately, because of what's going on, that message is being lost. And for the Sharks too, it looked as if they had a really great presentation. The Pride Night jersey looked pretty great. The shark was dressed, was colored in the trans flag colors. And I mentioned the fans earlier that Marissa highlighted in her Twitter thread. Like, those are things that should be highlighted. Not so much James Reimer's comments, but it's kind of a weird, like, we can't not ignore it at this point, considering how teams have gone about it in the past. But this is kind of where we're at right now. And I still think when it comes time for next year, maybe we're going to see changes for the better or maybe for the worse with how teams handle it. Unfortunately, it sucks.
I want to add, it's a slippery slope. Because what's stopping a player from not wearing jerseys for other communities and saying, oh, I don't want to wear a jersey for Black History Month. I don't want to wear a jersey for Indigenous Month or that garbage about, you know what? Oh, that my teammate, he knows I support him, but I have no inclination to do it publicly. Like,
I thought about it too, specifically with Black History Month. Like, what if we're unfortunately in a point where a team would want to do something in commemoration of, unfortunately, another Black person losing their life at the hands of police. And the team says, all right, we're going to do something. What if, or if it happens to coincide with like a Black History Month celebration, and then some player, because they feel, oh, Black Lives Matter is this terrorist organization, blah, 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 all lives matter, blah, blah, blah. And then they do that. Like, that's a perfect, like, it's a random, it's a very specific scenario to draw up, but I can totally see that happen.
Unfortunately. Yeah. And the fact that we can see these scenarios happening just speaks to, and I hate this line, how far we have to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Seriously, it's a bit of an unfortunate situation with that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add on that before we move on to another topic? I know we don't have to belabor the point over and over, but if there's anything else, we can give that moment in, and then after that, we can just swap off to something else.
I think you may need to revisit this again next week after the Canucks and Flames have their Pride Night next week.
Also should be noted, really? We're recording on a day where the Dallas Stars are supposed to do their own Pride Night. And they put up a tweet with Max Domi they had put up a tweet with Max Domi on it. Not saying he wouldn't partake in it, but we don't know. People are looking at that and are wondering, what are they going to do with that? We may very well have to revisit that. You're right. Jeez. Yeah,
we're going to have to, because the Canucks statement to Patrick Johnson today was they'll release more information closer to, and not just we've always done it, so we're going to.
I believe the Flames Pride Night is,
which frankly is like,
yeah,
you know, I know a lot of people said it was important for the Sharks because the Bay Area has a huge LGBTQIA+ community, but that's true of Vancouver, and that is, they have worn Diwali jerseys, Lunar New Year jerseys, Indigenous jerseys. They've done warm-up jerseys for every other event this year. So
they have.
That is going to go over very, very poorly if they don't do it.
Yeah. I believe the Flames are doing theirs on the 28th. I sent a note to PR asking what they're doing. I have not heard back in time for the reporting. So yeah, this is a bit of, and that's the last thing I'll say about this too. To this point, we've heard the Flyers, the Rangers, the Wild, and the Sharks. Those are four teams, four NHL teams, and the Dallas Stars will have theirs tonight. We don't know what will happen with them. I say tonight is in Tuesday. We're recording on Tuesday. We have not heard about a Canadian team. Who knows what will happen with how the coverage will go in our country if say the Canucks or the Flames or some other team in Canada goes down the route of any of those other four teams I mentioned, we could be in for something very interesting. And I still think we are bound to see changes with this format, considering the attention that has been put out there on those players who decide to opt out. Anyway, you're right. We will probably have to revisit that at a later date. It kind of sucks. Every so often on the show, we have to talk about things that suck. And then we have to make the awkward transition to talk about hockey, because that's the point of the show, people. We can't
I thought you were going to say, and speaking of things that suck, the Calgary Flames.
Oh,
I would have lost.
Do you want to talk about the Flames first?
I would have lost.
I'm glad with that.
I mean, can we?
Yeah, of course we can. Mind you, we are recording on a day where they are playing against the Anaheim Ducks. Okay. Maybe they win on the Tuesday, and then tomorrow, then the next day, their playoff chances go up into the 30s again. I don't know. But did you guys see that season in review tweet put up on the Flames broadcast on Sportsnet ahead of the LA Kings game? 41 games decided by one goal, the most in the NHL. 26 losses in one goal games, most in the NHL. 15 overtime and shootout losses. You guessed it, most in the NHL. Before the game, 77 post hit by the Calgary Flames. Anyone want to guess what I'm going to say next? Yep. Oh. Most in the NHL.
Oh, my God.
Third period comeback wins. Fewest in the NHL at zero. You guessed it. All of us combined have had as many third period comeback wins, just imagine if we were a fictional hockey team, as the Calgary Flames have had ahead of Tuesday night. That could change. And losses when out shooting opponents by 10 or more shots, 21 losses. That is the most in NHL history. Again, this is ahead
in history
of the game against Anaheim.
Oh my God.
Most in NHL history. Most in NHL history. All these stats are all ahead of the Tuesday night game against the Anaheim Ducks. But yeah, 21 losses when out shooting opponents by 10 shots or more. 21 this year. The most in NHL history.
Listen, man.
I would hate to be a Flame right now.
I stand by.
Oh, I heard what you did. I heard what you did. Oh. You hate to be a Flame. You with that Edmonton bias.
I mean, right now it must be tough.
I stand by what I've said, and I think we've all mirrored about what needs to be done when it comes to changes in the organization. However,
we need a shirt.
Daryl might be right.
Wait, what?
Listen. Okay, Daryl Sutter.
Who didn't see that coming?
Daryl Sutter.
I did not see this coming.
Daryl Sutter has talked about how the team does not have any any elites like finishing anymore.
They don't have any game breakers. That's been said all year.
Now, I'm not saying 100% of it is not his fault. But zero third period comebacks, 21 losses when out shooting the opponent by 10 plus. Damn, man. That's tough. That is tough. And if I had a dollar for every time I've said that the Winnipeg Jets are lucky that Calgary's so bad, I'd have $5, which isn't a lot. But the fact that is, I've said it multiple, at least five times, is a problem. Because, it's just weird. But I don't know. At the same time, it feels like every time we talk about... It's just like when we were talking about the Canucks for, ever. Every time we talk about the Flames, it comes down to the same conclusion. The coach and the team does not match. We all know what needs to be done. So, unless ownership just says, you know what? Yes, Daryl's our boy. We like him. But you know what? We kind of want to be good when we're paying people double digits and stuff. So until they make that decision, I don't understand how they look at this. This is what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. We all know that teams have internal micro stats and stuff. I would love to see what that says. Is there a fine print that says, you know what? It's not Daryl's fault. Because, I don't understand. This should be a cake. They should be in a playoff spot.
This should be
a cakewalk for them. Again, Winnipeg's been horrible, man. The top line's getting benched.
this should be, this is the moment that teams like wait for. A team that's like, maybe that had like a bad start, but you're just like, you're kind of like finding your legs a little bit and you just need someone to fall out of it. This is it. This is the fall. It's like the Flames are on ground level, and then like Winnipeg is on like the second floor, and they toss them like a ball and they still dropped it anyway. I don't get it. And it's such a shame. Like, I think regardless of what happens, like, this season's a freaking failure, especially if they miss.
Well, their goal at the beginning of the year was to make the playoffs. So if they don't make the playoffs, it is a failure.
Yeah, but doing it, not making it this way, like, that's...
Oh, like, it's beyond...
That's when you take context and you ramp it up by, like, a million. Like, that's horrible.
Man, I hate to be the harbinger of maybe not death in this case, but of bad news to come or just news to come. I really think we're in for something really drastic this summer in Calgary. There's no way... we don't have some kind of big piece of news. Is it, does Daryl just say, you know what, hey man, I'm done, I'm going to the farm, I'm not taking the extension? Does Daryl, do the Flames just look at Daryl Sutter and they look at the money he's owed over the next 2 years and they're like, well, you know, we could just make him GM and just pay him that way? Or, you know, what about players? What about Jonathan Huberdeau? What about Nazem Kadri? You mean to tell me after, I mean, the players are all saying like, hey man, we all like to play for each other in this room.
Lies.
You need to, I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know if that's a lie.
Yeah.
I think we've all had bosses in our respective jobs who get on our nerves, and then we maybe kind of bond a little more with our coworkers because our boss is a little annoying. Maybe you don't hate the boss necessarily sometimes, but like, you're like, hey, you know, he's grinding my gears a little bit. I think that's what we're getting in Calgary right now. I think that's what it is. And I think at this point with the style, with how things are going, wouldn't surprise me if there were a few guys in the room right now who were not too fond of Daryl. It happened in LA. They locked him out of the room. It's not the first time that's going to happen. But I think at some point, considering the amount of time that's left with this roster to be competitive and those contracts, I really think something's going to have to give at some point. You might have to pick between Daryl Sutter and some of these players. I think that's generally what's going to have to happen this summer.
And another thing that sucks too is like, I was going through their cap friendly, because like, they'll have like close to, if not a little bit over, like $7 million coming off the cap, just like with Lucic, with Richie and stuff. So, and this is a pretty bad like free agent class. Like, there are not that many like legitimate like producers or finishers. And even if they are, then they're like, you know, past 30. Like, you have Alex Killorn, Bergeron's probably going to retire.
Are NHL GMs actually going to behave this summer?
And they might have to.
Oh my God.
Because like, there literally is not. Yeah, there's Tarasenko. Maybe you signed Tarasenko. You tried to. Thomas Tatar. I don't know. Like, there are not that many like elite talents in this free agent class. So it looks like Calgary might have to do the thing that got them in here in the first place. They might have to make a deal.
Avery, how much are Oilers playoff tickets? Is it worth the 3-hour drive?
Oilers playoff tickets are probably going to cost you an arm and a leg, the same cost as a hot dog in Rogers Place. So, I mean, they're going to be pricey, but you want to come up, Julian, and watch a game, you know, be my guest and come up and enjoy the Moss Pit, because there'll be no playoff action at the Saddle Dome the way it stands right now.
As it stands. There's some news we should get to that seems to have just dropped as we were recording.
Bo Horvat got traded again?
No. It's not a trade. It's not a trade. Sam might be interested in this. The Avalanche have announced a 3-year extension for Jared Bednar, taking him to 2027. Good move. Jared Bednar, good coach. Pretty good coach. I like that. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, that's okay. In terms of it's, I think it's a pretty good segue to another topic I want to discuss, unless you wanted to dunk on the Flames some more.
There's nothing really else to say. It's just unfortunate. I feel for a lot of those players there who like probably like were, well, probably like saw what happened at Calgary last year and just thought, you know, the goalie was bad once, it'll be fine. And then Markstrom said, hold my beer, I'll be bad all the time. And then the other team was like, hey, you know what? We're not going to score for you.
It's not always his fault.
No.
But that being said, there's been stretches where he and Dan Vladar have not been good, and that has to be accounted for. But it's not completely.
How's Dustin Wolf doing?
You mean the best goalie in the AHL?
And he is not in the NHL because why?
I think they probably would rather not put him in this type of mess. Hot take. I kind of agree with that approach. Why carry three goalies and then potentially ruin the confidence of one of them? And people are like, oh, well, if his confidence is going to get ruined, maybe you shouldn't be in the NHL.
No, but if the confidence is responsible for a, and I quote, 31-25-15 record with a minus one goal differential outside of a playoff spot where the Winnipeg Jets have lost many games, are 4-5-1 in their last 10, while you continue to be 4-4-2 in your last 10.
This is a rather long quote.
I think you gotta try something. They didn't sell at the deadline. They didn't buy at the deadline, unless you count the Richie thing. They ought to try something, man. I don't know. Maybe you rally around the kid. His last name is Wolf. That's cool. Rally around the Wolf. Oh, imagine all that on a shirt. On the hunt for a playoff spot.
Did you? Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, a lot of people will want to see Dustin Wolf play. He's doing really well in the AHL. I don't think it's just better. Just let him dominate in the AHL. If he could figure out a way to offload one of the two goalies you have up in the NHL right now, and you could put him in a situation where he can get consistent NHL minutes, fine. I don't know if I would have no problem being wrong. I just don't know if calling him up right now is the right move. I just don't. I don't see the point. You're not going to make the playoffs. I don't know. Ooh, anyway.
They both have term. Oh, okay. That surprised me. I thought.
And for what it's worth, Wolf is like waiver exempt for like the next like 2 years, I think. So like they could just call him up and down whenever. Anyway, we've spoken enough about the Calgary Flames. Let's start to look a little bit more at the rest of the Western Conference. In terms of teams that are really good and teams that scare you, I think the Colorado Avalanche are up there. I just announced the extension for Jared Bednar. The Edmonton Oilers are definitely up there. But is there someone else who scares you, or is it really just those two teams? I mean, LA, they looked really good against the Flames. They've looked really good since February. Since February 1st, shout out to Drew Livingstone on Twitter from the SDPN, saying that the Kings are the best team since February 1st.
Yeah. I don't think people are talking about the Kings enough, nope. Man. Like,
and they got rid of Jonathan Quick. Which is might be a good thing, maybe. I don't know.
Lost to the Canucks.
Did they really? Well, you know, every good team loses to the Canucks, right, Toronto?
Forget who mentioned this the other day. I think it was Keith Yandel. I think he just kind of just said, like, you know, imagine if the Canucks hired Rick Tocchet a month earlier, they might actually be in the playoff chase. And he might not be wrong.
They are in the playoff chase.
Well, I mean, they're a little farther back.
Oh, God.
They're 5 points away from dropping out of the top 10 in the draft. And a 0% chance of landing Connor Bedard.
The platinum zero tank awareness. I
just can't stop winning. Can't stop winning.
It's so funny that Sam called it too.
Yep.
Like, no hyperbole. Sam called this when we were like chirping them in November. they make no sense.
They don't make sense. They never made sense.
And I get it. It's not players that tank. It's organizations and managerial staff that tank. But like, man,
they're starting Thatcher Demko tonight against Vegas. What's the point?
Pride. They play for pride, so they know what they have next year.
They play for pride, so they know what they have next year. Okay, all right.
There was another pride joke to be made in there, but I'm gonna let it go.
No, no, boo! I want to know the joke. Oh my God. Is he gonna get us canceled?
No, I was just gonna say I don't know if the Canucks are actually gonna play in their pride jerseys next week.
Oh yeah, that's actually really true. That's not gonna get us canceled. That's okay. That's not inflammatory.
Not the right kind of pride.
Not the right kind of pride at all. Yeah, seriously.
So stupid. Oh, we need to focus on next year and build for next year. I'm like, you know what I'd be focusing on this year?
What?
That Connor Bedard has 70 goals. 70. 7-0.
Soixante dix.
Yes. I'm assuming that means 70 in French. My French is gone.
Yes. Soixante dix is 70 in French. Yes.
We need more Tim Murray's back. We need term Tim Murray. We need people to say, like, I dream about getting like McDavid and stuff. And we need that to return, because
do we need more Tim Murray's to be disappointed at the end when you end up with Jack Eichel?
That's
great really player.
I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, man.
The only under 18 CHLer in the last 30 years who has had more points than Bedard this season is this year Crosby had 166 points. Cam Robinson tweeted that yesterday.
Whatever happened to that Sidney Crosby guy? Was he any good?
Works at Tim Hortons now.
Oh, that's who that is in those commercials.
That must be the most popular Tim Hortons in all of Canada.
I was going to mention, in terms of the teams that are scary, you know, I still think people should still fear the Golden Knights, 8-2 in their last 10 games on top of the division. And even though every 25 games, they lose a goaltender, and they are still a strong team in the division. They've gone through, what, 5 goaltenders now, and they have not missed a beat in net. Like, they've had injuries to Aiden Hill, Logan Thompson. They bring in Jonathan Quick. And the Golden Knights are still chugging along. It reminds me of 2017-2018 when Fleury went down and Malcolm Subban came in and the Golden Knights kept on winning. This is a team, like, no matter on base, no matter who gets hurt, no matter who misses time, the Golden Knights still find a way to win.
Who was that 19-year-old who played that 1 year? Was it like Maxime?
Dylan Maxime Ferguson.
Wait, who?
There was, Dylan I remember. Ferguson. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They went down to like their fifth, like a fifth stringer at one point. Like, it's nuts.
And the Oilers dunked him. They lost. That was 8-2 game. Oilers dropped a piano on his head that game.
Who am I missing from this year's Golden Knights squad? Because Aiden Hill, Laurent Brossoit, Jonathan Quick, Logan Thompson. Am I missing anybody else? I feel like I am.
No, Hutchinson's in. Hutchinson?
Michael Hutchinson?
Okay. No. He was on Columbus.
We have the internet, people. Let's figure out how many goalies have played for the Vegas Golden Knights this year. We have the internet at our disposal. We can legit find this out like right now. But like at least 4 we can think of.
Elevator music.
So there is in fact 5. I don't know if anyone's going to get the 5.
Yuri Patera.
So Logan Thompson, Aiden Hill, Jonathan Quick, Yuri Patera, and Laurent Brossoit are the 5 goalies who have all suited up in a Vegas Golden Knights uniform this year.
And they all have winning records.
They all have save percentages over .904.
That's insane.
Oh my God. All of their GAAs are like in the twos.
How has no one talked about this? That's insane. They all have winning records.
They all have winning records.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
I mean,
Laurent has a 102 record. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Still, what the hell?
Yeah, to be honest, like looking at that, like based off of like what Avery's saying, like no, maybe Calgary might as well just stay where they are, because like if Winnipeg is in trouble. Winnipeg, like that's trouble. And then Calgary, if you get in, okay, and say hi to Vegas. that's crazy. Yeah, man, I don't know, the West actually might be a little interesting, maybe not in the sense of like who gets in, but the phase, the but for the point of like who's playing who. But like I think the only series I can say is probably locked in is I guess LA and Edmonton, which I am very excited
for. That's gonna be lit. We get a rematch.
I'm very excited for that. So that'd be cool. Todd McClellan can maybe get some revenge times 2.
I'm excited for that. I also just want to shout out Jason Robertson and the Dallas Stars, because getting to watch Jason Robertson from up close the other night against the Calgary Flames. What a guy, man. Mm-hmm. What a player. Over 40 goals, dynamic scorer, should be one of the primary faces of the league. Like, man, he's so good. I genuinely like him as a player. Like, I think he's sick. I think he, just the fact that he's able to, like, even, I don't know if you guys saw that game-winning goal he scored against the Flames, kind of enters the zone, does a little move on Rasmus Anderson, finishes with the backhand, celebrating, like, I know Flames fans will probably hate that, but, like, damn, that looked really good. Damn, he's a really good player. And imagine if we lived in a world that didn't have Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid in it. He would be the guy.
Honestly, like, his finishing ability is crazy. And I remember there was, like the beginning of the season, there was like a week where everyone talked about him and then people stopped, but it's just like he was still producing.
Contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steal. I forgot about that. Like, we were like,
what's that cap?
Anyway, let me check 41 goals the last year in 74 games, 41 goals in 70 games this year, and he has 88 points. He's in the midst of a career season at the age of 23 years old. He's just
on a 7.75 cap hit.
And he's 23 years old.
That's insane. That's gonna be one of those value contracts. That's gonna be the new Max Pacioretty. Like, that's an insane contract for, again, such like a high performing player. That's crazy.
Is it cool to say that zone time is maybe as a whole we rock with Jason Robertson? There are players we like. There are players we hype up. I think it's fair we could put Jason Robertson in there.
Yeah, I'd get an Adidas jersey of Robertson.
Adidas. Would you get a Fanatics jersey of Jason Robertson?
So, like, okay.
We'll buy one of the Adidas ones on sale now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Nordstrom's on 5% off.
5% off at Nordstrom? What is that?
Oh, anyway. My gosh. I, like, read up on it because I've seen a lot of, like, poor Fanatics products. And you know, like things being misspelled and like threads and damages and stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna read up on it. So I read Wachinski's article on it. I guess they interviewed someone from Fanatics. Talking,
I'm not sure who Yahoo knows who Greg Wachinski is. I think you might have to add more context, but
yeah, ESPN writer. So read that, and like, you know, they're kind of pretty much saying, you know, like Fanatics has like slowly been around for a while in the NHL. They sold like a lot of in-game arena stuff, and like the NHL put out a video and like, hey, they wear our hats, and hey, they wear our sweaters, and hey, we're not gonna change much to the jersey. Everything's gonna look fine. We might just, you know, change the material and stuff. And it's like, and then I saw another tweet where MLB has Nike.
Yeah,
NBA has Nike, and now the NHL has Fanatics.
Well, we should mention something with the MLB specifically. Mm-hmm. They actually have Fanatics making their jerseys, but they put a Nike logo on them.
Why can't we do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's funny that, like, leaving aside the other major league sports, the CHL's jerseys are made by CCM.
Oh, Lord. Dude.
Like, the CHL jerseys are going to be better than the NHL jerseys.
Bro, CCM jerseys last a long time, huh? Yeah.
Like, imagine. Yeah, someone already corrected me that it's for, like, the year after. But, like, I just really enjoy imagining Connor Bedard, like, trading in a CCM jersey for a Fanatics jersey.
Not even, like, Russell Athletic, bro.
You know, it'd be funny in a couple of years when this deal kicks in. If, like, say, for example, someone hooks Carl McDavid and his jersey rips him mid breakaway.
Just like,
so he's getting towards the net, just his pad.
Honestly,
after getting hooked.
Like, are they gonna put like fight straps on, or are people just gonna get jerseyed again? Like, are we gonna get like a renaissance?
They're taking over the Adidas factory that makes the jerseys, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, they were good. They're gonna use the same ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think the big thing that everyone's saying is that, like, the on-ice product shouldn't be that crazy. It'll take a few years before we actually see genuine changes, mm-hmm. but obviously people are more concerned with what, like, you know, the jersey will look like. Well, if we, like, the fan stuff, the breakaway line, or however they want to describe it, like, that's the biggest. No. Like,
hey, I see what you did there. Break away.
Oh, okay. I was just saying the game. Shout out to everyone.
I don't know why they signed it for 10 years.
I was just about to ask. I'm like, am I the only one who thinks that 10 years is a long time?
That's a long time for an outfitter.
Man, like who knows? Like maybe you could like rekindle things with Adidas again. I don't know. Like 10 years is a long time, man.
Like, why? What if they go, like what if by, you know, nothing they will, but what if, say, for example, year 5, they go under? Then what? It's like,
man.
I don't know, man. And shout out to everyone who sent in tweets to this call out. I did fill in the blank. The NHL signing a 10-year deal with Fanatics is blank. Daryl Keeping says, absurd. The quality and efficiency of their service are non-existent. The Deck 17 says, the equivalent of the Calgary Flames season, pain and suffering, no end in sight. Oh, damn.
Keep going.
Yeah. Nathan Conville just tweeted a gif of Steve Carell in the office. The date, what's his name? The HR guy comes back to the office and he's just like, no.
Oh my gosh.
Robert Murray, equivalent to trading the pick that drafted Jordan Kyrou for 53 games of Brian Elliott. Ouch. Not fantastic, says Mr. Bugler. Go ahead, Omar.
Yeah, I think of all of them, like one that stands out to me is Spencer Sat Thomi.
Yeah,
assuming 14 says a typical of the NHL and not in a good way. That's a problem.
That is, yeah.
We expect the NHL to fall on their head every single time. This is supposed to be something that the fans should rally around. Oh my gosh, we can buy like new jerseys from this new company. And we're all just like, oh my gosh, this is brutal. Which again, proves what we all know. Gary Bettman doesn't know freaking anything about what fans want. There's no big issues in the game. Excuse me? What? We have the best officiating in the league. No one cares about the playoff format. Like, for a league that loves to say that, like, we want to do our best to, like, bring new fans in and enhance the fan experience. Like, no. No, if anything, you're pushing yourself. For the first time, I'm actively going to try to watch another sport. I try, then I give up.
What?
I'm going to actually try. Not saying I'm giving up on hockey, but it's just like, man, the only cool thing that the league has done this season was that recent thing where they had like the video game, New York Rangers game or whatever. That was actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Shout out to Drew Carter and Kevin Weeks.
That was cool. But like, besides that, and the fact again that like we expect them to mess up, like, oh my gosh, man. Like read your room, read your audience, read your fan base. They do not like Fanatic stuff. And this isn't new. People have been posting crusted Fanatic stuff for eons.
Fanatic Sucks is the Twitter account you should look at for reference.
Come on!
There is a legit Twitter account called Fanatic Sucks, and people will like post. Like, I remember I ordered like a jersey from them. I mean, I've ordered a bunch of stuff from them, but like I ordered a jersey from them a couple years ago. There was like a hole like in the middle of the shirt. Like, it was just like, what is this?
You guys obviously follow the Stanchion.
Yes.
Wyatt. Yes. It was so funny seeing this announcement because he has been on a personal anti-Fanatics campaign for the last, I want to say, 2 weeks.
Oh, he's going to lose
his mind. Like multiple tweets a day because he ordered an All-Star jersey before the All-Star game and hasn't gotten it.
He hasn't gotten it?
I think that was the story. I can't remember all the details, but he tweeted this morning that he woke up to more notifications than he's ever had in his entire life.
Oh, no.
How
this man a jersey.
How does the NHL keep seeing Fanatics light their own house on fire and say, yeah, we want you to make our game jerseys now? How?
I mean, you're talking about a league that is proud of one of their 32 teams playing in an arena where you can see the shadows of the players on TV all the time and no one's done anything to
get into the ASMR.
I'm just saying this league makes no sense
no
at all
It's a bit of a weird one. You have to say it's a weird one. I have to make this quick shout out before we wrap up because we are running low on time. On the subject of notable Vancouver people, we have to acknowledge the return of Mr. Booth 07.
Yo, I laughed so hard.
Best user today.
I saw it. And I was like, at first, see, here's the thing. At first, I thought I was being Booth. So I looked at the header. I clicked on the account. And I was like, no, it's actually the account. So like, that's hilarious. So like, yeah, like it's unfortunate, but also like, also pretty probably good for the livelihood of a lot of like insiders that he came back after the deadline.
Thank God. Cause if he came back on the day of the deadline, that would have resulted in chaos. But we just want to say on behalf of everyone here at Zone Time, Mr. Booth 007, not 007, just 07. Mm-hmm. We love you and we appreciate what you do. Yeah, and thank you for not terrorizing any of us.
I can't wait for the first, oh no, I've been boofed. I live for those moments. I live for those moments. I can't wait for them to come back.
All right. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Zone Time. We inch closer and closer to draft lottery day. And I can't wait until we all start using Tankathon to figure out where Connor Bedard's going to go among
not
other
coming
things.
On that episode.
No. Also, sneak peek. San Jose wins.
All right. We're gonna figure that out among other things. Subscribe to the podcast, however you listen to podcasts. For everybody, I'm Julian. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.